Welcome to Wednesday Comics. To my right, APAT himself, Alex. How you doing?
Hello, everybody. I'm doing well.
To my left, G-Dub himself, Garrett. How you doing?
Doing good.
This song's going to take a little bit to get to the part I wanted to, so I decided to introduce us with this bed of fucking music behind us.
Here's one of the most, still one of the most iconic songs.
Right here. Here we go. Sometimes in my dreams, when there's action scenes, this fucking song pumps in. Don't worry, it's coming.
Just hold on a second. Can't hear it.
Hold on a second. Here it is. Oh. You know what? Oh, I figured it was right there. There we go, motherfucker, right there. In the subway. Miss O'Neill. You've been running your mouth. Someone should shut it.
Laps in the face.
Orokosagi, right. I finish what I started with your ear.
I was hoping to get to the second half of that song where it gets into when the turtles are fighting the sparrow at the end.
Well, but here's the best part, and I'm going to do an accurate impersonation of the Shredder when he's charging towards Splinter. There you go. Welcome to Wednesday Comics, Shredder's Revenge. My name is Marvin. Here, Wednesday Comics. So the comics coming out this week. Actually, not. We didn't do that anymore. See, look, that's what I did last time when we just redid this because the mic fucked up, and I was about to say that. I go, we don't do that anymore, and then I fucking did it again. All right, so we don't do that anymore. We do just show the love of comics no matter when they came out, not just the ones that came out this week. Even though we still read and keep up with them books, and let me tell you what. There's some good stuff coming out right now and some stuff I'm excited for. Jason Aaron over at DC is going to be writing Superman, I believe. I think that's what I saw.
I thought he was doing something else.
He is doing like a couple weird like little minis, but I believe they're getting prepped to do a Jason Aaron run. He was promoting Superman over the weekend. I don't know. The dude's DC exclusive right now. They signed him to a contract. He said he kind of got tired of playing with the Marvel toys, and so he went over to DC. So it was a matter of, like, he didn't like the other one, or he thought they fucked him over. He just went over there, you know, got new toys to play with. You know, Alex, if you're playing with Spider-Man all the time, sometimes you want some bat, you know?
I get that, but he's right with the whole Avengers team, and I'm sorry, if you can't make a good... I mean, I know he's been out for, what, 2 years now? 2.5? Maybe close to 3? But that tells me if you're already burnt out of writing Avengers, you either weren't telling a good enough...
It was like 3 years. Story? It was like three,
he's
4 years.
Writing Avengers for multiple volumes.
It was definitely before the pandemic.
Was it?
Yeah, because I remember when they had that thing where they stopped doing comics for a little bit. He was writing Avengers at that time.
Okay. So this has been doing it for almost 4 or 5 years
so
now.
So it might have been that delay, you know, when they had... those 1 week. I forgot, how did that even work? Was there like a huge gap, or was there like weeks where there were just like no books?
It was like 3 months that we didn't have books coming out at all.
That's right. Wow. That's like it seems almost like a fake memory in my head. Like that didn't actually happen, but it did. For 3 months, comics were on hold.
I think the thing is, that's the moments where I go, was that 3 years ago that we couldn't talk to people in person and you feared to go outside? And yeah.
Dude, it's because that whole year's like felt like a decade.
That's true.
Like, yeah. Time slowed down, but it went fast at the same time.
It was a year of adjustment, and then also with the comics. Yeah, so Jason Aaron, I believe, was on it then, and we were pausing. You know, we can get official answer here. Let me ask Theo while we're talking here for a second. Theo. Oh, Tom? Todd. Oh, sorry, fuck. I knew your name started with it.
I thought Todd died.
I thought we got rid of Todd when he was giving us dumb questions.
Right. This is Tom.
You're right. I think it's Tom.
Tom. Yeah, I needed to look up.
Now, Theo is going to be insulted, though, that we just brought him in just to send him back out the door.
Yeah, he did come in for a second, and it was almost like that gif of Grandpa Simpson. He was in and out. So, he started writing Avengers in 2018. His first issue was in 2018. So, he's been writing it for 66 issues, so I think he's good to move on. Anyways, I don't know what he's doing. I know he was promoting Superman. I know he's doing two random things with them. People were saying he should jump on Wonder Woman, which, I mean, they now have Tom King doing that. I don't know why you need to right away be saying, hey, let's get him off of that book. He hasn't done anything yet. I believe the first issue came out, what, this week, last week?
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago.
I just opened my box today that had it in it. I have yet to read it, but
it was good.
That and Captain America on my list to get read.
Ooh, Captain America was awesome.
SuperCon, the Beyond the Con happened, and that was if you saw the Tony Felix episode, we were there. Part of that is also, I was going to say, you know, there's some physical comics in front of me because I went, you know, digital, rogue, during, you know, it's around that time of the pause there is when I went full, because I think I was still getting Saga in print at that point, and then I decided after that, you know, whatever. But, you know, I kind of miss that smell. And just right now, Alex, when you said you opened the box and it was in there, I'm a little jealous.
You know, the thing is, I walk into my room, my quote-unquote office, guest room, toy room, whatever the hell you want to call it. And if I leave the door closed and I open it, it is literally like walking into a comic book store.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's so much pulp in that room that is available to be read.
Yeah,
fantastic.
I mean,
I do charge $50 a visit for someone to sniff that.
Hold up, you do say it's a visitor room, so if I do need a night to stay, I would stay in that room, right?
After I moved all my comic books out and put them in their lock.
Listen, I ain't gonna do shit. What do you think I want to do with 200 TMNT comics, huh?
Whoa!
You might roll them up like a fucking stress ball.
Kill a fly with them or something. I mean,
that all depends on Alex's attitude that night.
If I behave, you're nice to the books.
If I go to sleep mad, you know, one of them goes rolled up in somewhere he doesn't want to look. So,
ooh.
Dirty pipes, I mean, you know?
Oof, no. Not my ass. Good.
That way you
paper
know,
cuts. Yeah, paper yeah. cuts.
So SuperCon, we were just at, and the smell of comics smelled really good. So I think that's why 2 weeks ago I kind of, we lost a week during that SuperCon week for the show. But yeah, the book Tom King's, that one. And then, so there's some exciting stuff happening. Just basically what I was saying before. It's just that like, every time we go to SuperCon, I come out of it being like reinvigorated to get back into comics. Boys, it's happening. Guess what? I broke out of the archives. You guys had gifted me this Why the Last Man, this whole thing.
Oh, fuck.
And,
how many times we got to hear this pitch, Mark?
Listen. I bet you know what? Tom, go back in the archives and figure out how many times this has been said. Anyways.
At least three.
I broke them out, and I'm going to do it.
All right.
I'm going to do it.
So. I mean no disrespect. I will believe it when I have seen you, I guess heard that you've read them all.
Listen, right. I will have them finished. This is going to be my goal. I will have them finished before the next issue of Lazarus comes out.
Oh, well.
Years from now, so good for you.
Hey, I challenge accepted.
Greg Rucka said, Greg said that he said the scripts are done and they're just working on the art right now. So,
well, then you better get going because we know how you're. We know you're like, moving.
I don't think it's Alex. You could tell me because you look at the solicitations, but I don't think that means it hasn't been solicited yet. So it's at least 3 months out. So I at least have 3 months.
That's it. I've ordered 2 months from now. I ordered in September for November, so I did not see it.
You know what? I think I need to start doing, and this is something for anybody out there that's behind iComics or just wants to, you know. Break up their day. For the longest time, I've always been like, especially during this pandemic, as we were just speaking about, like you kind of blur the lines. Maybe not you, Alex, because nothing really changed for you if we're going to work because you have to be there physically. But for me and Garrett, I feel like I lost the definition of what a break was and what lunch is. And so now I am back in a job where I actually am back in the office. And I really don't take breaks. I'll take a lunch if I go somewhere. Otherwise, I'll like eat my desk. But I really don't take any breaks. So I think I'm going to start bringing something to read and then take 2 15-minute breaks like I'm supposed to and get at least half an hour of reading done a day.
Oh, I would never miss my breaks. No way.
Oh, see, when we went full remote, I did kind of blur the lines of like, I'm not going to go and take 2 15. Sometimes, you know, it'd be more, sometimes it'd be less. And so, like, you just would do it in between things. Like, my computer would be, because when we would do video editing, it would render, and sometimes that takes, like, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, so I would see that. I can't do anything else while it's doing that. And so I'd be like, okay, well, I guess I got a 10-minute break. So, I mean, like, I lost the definition of being like, you have to take about regular intervals and not just when you're not working. So
you have to push yourself a little bit.
And you know what you say? You may say, Garrett, you're on the right track, and that might be a healthy thing for you. And Alex has no choice. He has to get off them dogs, you know, can't be on them all day. And, but there, I bet there's a good number of people out there that are identifying with not taking really a break. So,
my thing is like, so at my job, I don't normally take a break, but I do eat while I'm doing my job, or I'll make, you know, munch on something here, munch on something there. I usually take an hour lunch, and that's usually what I do. And then I actually leave the job to come home, take the dog out. So I don't read, but if I end up like working a night shift and I don't leave, I've always thought I need to bring a novel, bring like a paperback that I'm willing to read, or I used to read comic books in my car all the time.
Listen, just do what Stephen King does, Alex. He said he always has something rolled in his back pocket to read in case he has at least like 10, if he has any time, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, that's reading time.
That's reading.
So take one of those comics, roll them up, put it in your back pocket, and you're good.
Damn. Even if it's a free book, that's hard to do. I mean, it's just like, I can't.
If it was a paperback, would you do that?
For The Hobbit, I have a paperback that I read,
yeah,
and I have a paperback that just sits on my shelf. Because my paperback that I read was torn up from middle school, high school, beat to hell. So I didn't feel so bad if I, you know, stretched it out a little bit, or if I flattened it out while I read it. That one wouldn't bother me so much. But I'm also one of those people that, much like my comic book, much like my toys, I want them to be as clean and pretty as they can be, mm-hmm, for potential of resale, and plus for me to look at. If I'm gonna look at them on the daily, that binding needs to look fantastic. That face cover of the toy needs to look good.
Yeah.
I didn't spend the money to take a shit on it, so.
Well, you know, some people do, so. The week is the second week of October, which I never get to say if it was the first week because we didn't have a show that week. So October, we're literally 10 days into October out of the 30. We're a third through October at this point, which is fucking crazy, as you were pointing out, Gary, like time going too fast, but also really slow at sometimes. And we are in the season of spook. And I do know that we didn't have the opportunity to talk about this before. And usually during October, we kind of make it a bigger deal because I believe all three of us enjoy the spook season. And Alex, I don't know if you might, you know, be equal to Christmas. Who knows? But we'll talk about that later. No, go ahead and tell me which one.
What? What do I prefer?
Yeah.
I am very much more of a Christmas guy than a spook kind of guy.
All right.
But I'm the opposite.
But you're like a number two spooky season.
I like Halloween just fine. I like scaring people. I'm very quiet and I can sneak up on you. But when it comes to the supernatural stuff, that's where I get nervous.
I didn't say you love
the show Supernatural.
I didn't say you were nervous about the holiday. I said, do you enjoy?
I guess I do like the holidays just fine. But I'm also a Thanksgiving kind of guy. I mean, those turkey hearts, I mean, that's the real holiday right there.
I mean, you can't deny it. That's one thing about Alex.
Did you eat the hearts of a bird? Oh, my gosh. That's when you know you're scary.
You know, Alex, I don't think we properly have ever addressed this on the show.
We talk about it every fucking year.
Not the turkey hearts. You are a man that likes a nice dish. I don't know where the fuck it goes. You should be the 800-pound man, but you're not. And so it would make sense that Thanksgiving is high on your list. For me, it kind of ranks low, you know?
Oh, really?
I do enjoy it, but it just seems for some reason like the most stressful holiday.
Really?
Oh, I always think Christmas was the most stressful because it was going from I would work the day, and then when I got off, I'd go out to my wife's family's stuff. And then the next morning, we'd drive to my mom and dad's stuff, and we'd go do something else that afternoon, where now that things have kind of quieted down and stuff, it's more of a, we do this one day, and then it flows better, obviously, but that first and second and third year, you're just trying to figure out how to keep your ass straight and go where you're going. Thanksgiving, I felt, is always easy. I generally just was home.
You mentioned something in your explanation that it did spark the reason I think it does fall low on my list is because of having to work on that holiday. Like they would, the place we all three used to work used to be open that day, or they would have a crazy Black Friday thing and you would have to like come in super early. So I don't think I've ever actually recovered from that experience at all. Because there would be times when you like Thanksgiving, you can't do shit on because the next day we got to go in at 5 a.m., 6 a.m., you know? And then they realize that maybe people aren't going to that store. What do you think, Alex? They're doing what did they do now? What did they do last year?
I think the tough thing nowadays is that it's all online. I mean, you don't even have to leave your house anymore for Black Friday. All these places, such as Best Buys and Targets and Walmarts and what have you, do all these online sales, which is fantastic. I mean, you can shop from your house. But I mean, I remember working those mornings, and yeah, they're traumatic, but they're also a lot of fun.
I agree with that.
Like to see the bloodlust that some of these guests have, or to see the I've been one of those shoppers.
I think three of us can agree here. What mostly was shit. They would be
$5 red. Off a toaster. You know,
but you know, they're being fooled by us saying that we're taking $50 off of it, and it's like, but it was never that much here. shit like that, or they'd be like, hey, this is on sale, and you'd be like, what the fuck is this? Like, I don't even know what this is. To see people in a frenzy over basically nothing, it was very interesting to see the human experience in that kind of light.
I mean, I remember like I'd go from work and then I would go to Rainbow, and I mean, their deal was always good, 50% off back issues. I still get excited for those type of things. I mean, I'm still a sucker for a good deal. And even like when I do stuff on eBay or Mercari or Amazon, not so much Amazon, but eBay, when I make a good deal or a good find, or when I go to these toy shows, even when we're at SuperCon.
Wait, what's this website you just mentioned? Mercari?
Which one?
Mercari. It's the Facebook eBay.
Yeah, it's like another eBay option.
Oh, what do you mean the Facebook eBay?
It's run by Zuckerberg.
Oh, it is Meta? They have their own marketplace thing?
Yep.
Oh, well, I am looking to get a few things off my hands, so maybe I'll venture over there.
And Mercari doesn't charge as much fees as eBay, I believe.
They have higher expectations, though, that you send your stuff out. So I've had one thing where I ordered it, the dude accepted my offer. He sent it out the moment he found it, and I got it 2 days later. The best experience I ever had. Then I've had someone else who I ordered it, and I had to wait 4 or 5 days for him to either find it, dig it out of his ass, whatever. And it still took another 4 days to get to me.
Yeah, there's some scammers on there, so you got to make sure it's somebody that actually makes sales. Otherwise,
now listen,
it's a bot.
I'm clicking on one that says this is legit, definitely not a scam. So if you have that in your title, I'm definitely clicking on it. So why would they lie? It's just like undercover cops. If you ask them, they got to tell you the truth. So
are you a cop? No. I mean, yes.
But, you know, part of this holiday is always kind of like the comic book deals we would get. And there were Rainbow Comics and Cards, who is our sponsor, is also our local comic book shop. And the Black Friday used to be a tradition between the four of us, including guest host one, to go to right away early in the morning. So actually it kind of no, we wouldn't go there Black Friday. We would do that for Free Comic Book Day. Black Friday we still would
talk about going there, because that's when we would even decide, hey, I'm gonna go at this time,
right? We would go and the other deals two would
distract you while we got each other Christmas gifts,
because they usually had a 50% off at that time, and that's a pretty good deal if you know in the world of comics. Sometimes some of these, you know, these fucking trades and hardcovers from Marvel and DC are pretty marked up pretty high. I mean, like, directly from them. Like, it's no, I'm not saying this for any comic book store owner. They have to do what they have to do to make money, because they make shit off of the weekly sales. Even starting, if they say, hey, we're going to release, you know what, Watchmen for the next edition, so we can keep the rights out of that Alan Moore's hands, and they print a new collection for some reason, it's always like, okay, it's $50. And it's like, motherfucker, this is the 17th printing. Like, how about you make a cheap version? How about that's the next version? Cheap.
Cheap.
Image is good about that, though. It's, what, $10 for the first trade?
Yeah, it used to be. I don't know if it is anymore.
God, you think they're holding the line?
Not at $9.99.
God damn it, Robert Kirkman. Get your ass in gear. I know that you just are part of that management over there.
He, him and Daniel Warren Johnson just launched the Transformers comic at Image, so.
Oh, move from IDW, that's right.
That's what people are talking about. Yeah, I see people talking about Transformers, the new comic, and I'm like, who gives a fuck? Here's the thing. Listen, you got to listen for a second. There's been never been a deeper love of my life than the Transformers. Early on, like growing up as a kid, it's that and TMNT. And then somewhere along the line, I know Beast Wars came and that I watched that. But then there was a gap between that, for me. A gap between that and then that first Michael Bay movie. And that first Michael Bay movie I thought was really good. But then they started, you know, delving out shit left and right after that. I literally had to walk the halls to stay awake in one of those movies. And I came back, didn't miss anything. Nothing crucial to the film at all. Movie. And then, you know, here comes Bumblebee. And this guy, you know, gets me a little excited, this Bumblebee. And then I'm watching this Transformers Beast Wars. What's it called?
Yeah.
Beast Wars?
Rise of the Beast.
Rise of the Beast. And that's pretty good, too. So I think I'm back now. So Transformers.
Check it out. And it's the same artist as Do a Powerbomb, I'm pretty sure. If I can't be mistaken.
So there you go. I guess that, you know, he's too busy not holding the line because he's, you know, bringing up Transformers. Every once in a while, Alex, you got to go, like, Alex, if you given the opportunity to write TMNT, you just say yes, right?
To what?
TMNT, if they asked you to write it.
I don't, you know what? I think that'd be almost too much. No, that'd be too much of an offer. I feel like.
What the fuck?
Yeah, they asked me to write TMNT, that's too much.
No. Here's the thing, Alex. For you, because they know how much you're an idea man. And that's why this is why you love this guy. He thinks everything through. Here's what you do. You put Alex in a room, and they just say, Alex, you're going to help me and this guy come up with the plots of the next, you know, 3-4 arcs, and then we'll have somebody else actually write the script.
Oh, if I just have to be the idea man, yeah, I can do that. That's fine. If I had to actually write it and put dialogue down, that's not my strong.
What do you think Kirkman's doing over here? You know that Darren Warren Johnson's doing all the heavy work. Kirkman's in a room saying, you know what would be fucking cool? Starscream comes down and motherfucker, he turns into a plane and then fucking Sonic booms away. It's fucking awesome.
You're right. If I was just giving ideas, I could certainly do that.
So I'm saying, yeah. So this guy, no matter what he did and where he was sort of Image, the second they ask you about that, and if that's something you grew up with, you're like, yeah, I'm in.
That's true.
Who gives a fuck? I'm not, you know, if all I wrote all the rest, Shakespeare, for instance, you know, he's writing all these fucking plays and he's like, he's obviously seen it as a classy act. And then they, you know, he's a real big fan. Stay with me here. I know it doesn't make total sense. He's a big fan of Iron Man. And they go, you want to write Iron Man? Just because he wrote all those plays doesn't mean the man doesn't want to write the Iron Man. If he's a fan. So Shakespeare was not a good example. I'll give you that.
Interesting way to but go. I literally, those plays, do you like Iron Man?
But I literally froze on who is a sophisticated kind of writer in this day and age. So I said Shakespeare.
Jonathan Hickman.
He came up writing superhero comics. Kirkman, I guess Kirkman did, you know, do some Ant-Man stuff and stuff like that. So, never mind. I fucked it up. All right.
Did you see Hickman's doing the new Avengers, though? And I'm like, wow, here goes another story that I'll never finish.
No, he isn't.
Yes, he is.
Avengers?
He's doing
Avengers.
Gods. Isn't Hickman doing the Gods book that's coming out?
Yeah, that was it.
I think he's doing Avengers, too.
No, I swear to God, it was somebody else on Avengers. Who was?
I don't know. I've not been getting Avengers in a while, so.
Who is doing Spider-Man? Zeb Wells. Yeah. You sure it's not Zeb Wells Avengers? You all look right, it up.
Right. It's the Gods comic.
What?
He is doing the Gods comic.
Okay. Hickman. Avengers?
It's the G.O. It's Marvel. G.O.D.S.
What?
That's the comic, motherfuckers. He's writing a book called Gods.
Yeah.
They're calling it Jonathan Hickman Sandman?
Hmm.
But at least Sandman ended. Boom, mic drop.
Here's what I think of everything you just told me. Oh, sorry, there's text on screen. Fuck
yeah! Yeah, it's not going to be good, so I'm with you.
You just told me he's not writing it.
He's writing Gods. He's not writing Avengers.
Yeah, so you were wrong. I told you he's not writing
Avengers. I fucking just admitted that.
Oh, okay. Well, I was in the progress of playing that. I can't stop that bit. Garrett, tell him about this club we have.
Wednesday Comics, League of Extraordinary Gentle People, somewhat begrudgingly presents.
Whoa, Swamp Thing from New 52, number 7, written by Scott Snyder. I didn't look before I'm going to say it. Forget.
You guys fucking played me like a fucking fiddle with this thing.
You know what? All I did was say read it, and then when I talked to you more about it, and the realization is that I must have built this bad boy up in my head when I read it the first time going, this is the best thing, but I also read it after I read Animal Man the first time.
Well, Volume 2 must be incredible, because for fucking out loud, 10-ish, I counted 10 pages into this last issue of the first arc is when Alec is finally like, okay, I think I'll be Swamp Thing, not because I want to save the Parliament of the Trees, but because I want to save Abby. And then, like, he goes through this whole thing where the Parliament's like, no, and then he's like, oh, I have a backpack full of the regenerative bioformula. You didn't know I had that this entire time? Oh, okay. Use it. Yeah, that's a good idea. Okay, and then the last two pages is him turning into Swamp Thing. You never actually see all of Swamp Thing. And then you see him flying away with his Swamp Thing wings, which I get is cool because it's a first for Swamp Thing. But I wanted to see fucking Swamp Thing. I wanted to see all of Swamp Thing and didn't get it for 7 fucking issues.
You know what I'm learning about
bullshit.
This? What I'm learning about this is you don't like to be teased.
That's too long. That's not a tease. A tease is a short bit of, you know, foreplay. This is fucking, I don't even know what it's called. Gesturing.
I still love, like, I read this issue and this is fantastic. I loved it. And I think I liked the teasing. I liked it. One, I mean, I guess I'd already read it, but that little bit of stuff he gives you going, oh, I did delve into the green for a moment. I did slaughter all the pre-slaughtered pigs. To be fair, the Parliament of the Trees, I 100% agree with Alec going, I'm not doing this for you, jackasses. I'm saving
the girl. Yeah, buddy. He doesn't want to do it for the wood.
Well, he's doing it for his wood.
He's doing it for, you know, a little side action over there.
But, I mean, even when the trees are talking, I'm going, well, we try to help you, but you're being a dick. And he's like, you're being a bigger dick. Help me out so that I can become the Swamp Thing. I'm more than willing to now. And they're like, well, it's too late. And he's like, you're right. The coincidental, he has the liquid in his backpack that I don't remember him having.
But doesn't Scott love that coincidences like that? Like, that's all his stories.
That's true. And this did have the least amount of chit-chat. I mean, there was still a little bit of text.
You told me that one-page splash, Garrett, of where it says a monster and shows his eye. That's not the most badass page you've seen in your life.
It looks cool, but it's like I'm looking at Swamp Thing through a keyhole, and I'm like, I just want to see Swamp Thing.
Listen, baby, a little bit at a time. A little bit at a time, baby.
7 issues. That's fucking 140 pages without Swamp Thing.
Sometimes you need to be nice little slow crescendo, you know?
No, that's too fucking long. That's Bohemian Rhapsody times 2. Listen, like, you're waiting 8 minutes
for the airport. This issue was bringing you right to the edge, right before you, you know? And then they
stopped.
Took
my own life. That's where it did. It took me to the edge, and then I took my own life.
Gary, you gotta admit, this book is still better than some of the other shit we've read for the show.
I will agree, but I'm still really let down. Like, Animal Man.
Listen, I don't.
This is like beating around the proverbial bush.
I'm putting this out there, bro.
Where's the fuck is Swamp
Thing? I loved it.
Proverbial bush. That bush is right there.
Listen, I'm putting this out there, bro. I love this then. I love it now. Yeah, I thought it was good.
Great.
It really.
I'm glad you liked Alec Holland, colon, Swamp Thing sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. I'm telling you, because you got to go slow, baby. Slow.
It's too slow.
Honestly, I guess that's my thing. I'm just, but weirdly enough, I'm surprised that you are not as excited about the book. Would you read issue 8, 9, and 10?
Yes. I feel like this entire series should have started on issue 8.
I haven't even read it. I think, Alex, you're going to have to remind me. Isn't 8 like a flashback issue?
You might be thinking of Animal Man. I'd have to look. I thought I remember
both of them do that. Animal Man does an arc, and then it's like a flashback issue. And I think Swamp Thing, right, I thought, did the same thing.
You're right, because the next, I think number 9 is when he deals with her.
Yeah, he doesn't. Oh, they don't even talk about that story.
10, I think it brings in Arcane.
So. Dropped it. Dropped. You lost me.
My thing is that I've gotten so far into the New 52 realm that this book is phenomenal. Animal Man, just as fucking good. Now, Animal Man was, the first 5 issues of Animal Man was mind-blowingly awesome.
Listen, am I saying that it ranks up there with even like top 30? Probably not, but I'm saying I enjoyed it then because it was
the top 52.
It was the best out of that, one of the top of best of that 52. And then I enjoyed it now because it was a nice trip down memory lane. So maybe I'm biased, but
have you guys ever gone back to reread the Batman from Scott Snyder, New 52?
Yes.
I mean, the last time I did it was probably about 10 years ago. And look, maybe not quite 10, because I know issue 20 had come out, so it could be. Anyway, at least 8 years ago. How good that book was, and I can't remember if it's still as good as I've built it up into my head. I know issue 5 is still the best issue of that whole series.
Yeah, one of the best issues
ever. Zero Year was great, though.
The Riddler stuff?
Yeah.
I don't remember enjoying that nearly as much.
Yeah, I don't remember
enjoying it. And I'm not a Court of the Owls fan, but I remember that initial introduction of the Court of the Owls.
I am 100% with you.
But regardless, Batman was in that book.
But we all three though will agree that Death of the Family is the best one of that.
That was good.
Excellent. Bloom was pretty good. Near the end, the Bloom stuff was good. I mean, I remember the whole series being phenomenal. But you're right, Death of the Family was one of the best books I've ever read.
And maybe you know, I remember at the time that was my favorite book. So it's got to be at least somewhat decent still.
And this arc could have been called Death of the Trees, a prelude to Swamp Thing becoming Swamp Thing.
I don't give a shit about those fucking Parliament of Trees either. They're sons of bitches. They all they think about is themselves, not even about the green itself. They just think about how they can survive. And every single Swamp Thing has always been a petty little bitch. And finally, to get this human that can, you know, finally think about everybody instead of just them fuck themselves. And they can handle it. And so they fight. He's not exactly on the green. He's on the green side. He's not exactly on the Parliament side. It's a nice take on, what's the right thing to do when you have people that tell you to do opposite. So...
Whoa, so this is like Spider-Man, with great power must come great responsibility. I do like that in the book he calls out the Parliament going, the green is just as bad as the red and the rot. You guys weren't doing this for anyone else's benefit. Like you said, they're being selfish pricks.
Right. And it's not like Spider-Man. It's like fucking NWA, you know, fuck the police. And that's what Alec is saying in this comic, you know, fuck you. You think you could tell me what to do?
Oh, you can fucking burn and die, Riches.
That's also a Rage Against the Machine song. So, the thing with this too, the only thing I didn't like back in the day, and it kind of is, and they eventually find like a flow for it, but because Paquette takes forever on art, they would also have to sub in somebody else and or fill in an issue, and it would be only like Paquette page here, Paquette page here. So I'm not enjoying that so much, and in this too, I still was kind of like. I enjoyed his art way over Rubio. Yeah, Mark Ruby. But Mark, if it was the other style the whole time, it wouldn't matter. But then I think Paquette brings a nice kind of like style to the panels, and overall look of the book. So I enjoy when he actually is drawing it, but it is still kind of annoying that they go back and forth. So
I think I'd give Paquette the same range as I'd give Sorrentino for how he sets the panels, how he sets a page. How when he does a two-page spread, how fantastic that looks. And I always got to give credit to Paquette's animal art, the little bug that he had jump over, the alligator he had sitting there, or some of those, like the issue where Abby and Swamp Thing have talked about, oh, you know, we did some sexy stuff back then. And you see, like, the frog sitting, you know, having sex with the other frog, or you see these birds mating, like, oh, okay,
Yeah, if we talked about that before, you know, sexy swamp thing, but yeah, overall I enjoy the experience, and but I do agree, Garrett, right? You get an eye and then all of a sudden he blows up on the next page kind of, but you still kind of don't see the full look of him. It's kind of how I felt though, you know, the whole time we're going slow, and then bam, you know,
bam, more slow.
And then, you know, well, afterwards you need to cool down. You know, that was a big shot. So you need to cool down.
It's a lot of buildup. You gotta go back down for a moment. Then the next thing
you come back. So much so that you need to make the next issue not even about that.
Yeah, a flashback. And then another couple months later, hopefully you remember all the fucking bullshit for the first seven issues. And then you read issue 9.
But I will say this about the overall series. They do too much about explaining the green when they could just be like, it's the fucking green. Like,
I need to read volume 2 so that I can get the payoff, because right now I feel
so as far as I have gotten, when I initially started was, I think I'm up to the start of Rot World for Swamp Thing, and I read the Rot World stuff on Animal Man, and Animal Man's only what, 2018 issues, 22 issues, something like that. That's a quick read. 30 issues, sorry.
Right, there we go. Speaking of other books, the next book that we will be selecting, Local Man, by a new friend of the show, Mr. Tony Fleece, and also Tim Seeley, on that book. The volume 1 just came out 2 weeks ago, and then issue number 6 this last week, as of this recording. And then he has some other books coming out, but we decided at Local Man, since the anniversary of the trade. You know what? Yeah, the trade came out. Anniversary. The celebration of it coming out. We would read that first volume there. So I do have a copy here. Once again, smelling. That's like my first physical book in a while. So we're going to read that.
Did you guys pick up Gold as well?
Yes.
Did you, Marv?
It's not in the trade?
I don't know. I don't think so. You should try to get a hold of Gold so that we read this trade and then Gold.
Yeah. I mean, I'll get it digitally if Gold is not in there.
Because Gold was awesome. It would be fun to talk about.
You know what? This might answer that question. Or maybe that's just what he was selling it for. But that's an Image book. And I bought that first trade and it was $20. So maybe they don't hold the line anymore.
I don't think they do.
Ah, God damn it. Once again, Kirkman, what the fuck? You're too busy over there with fucking Optimus Prime up your ass. Can't even keep it at $9.99. That's not me, guys. Sorry, Tom took the microphone. That's Tom. You want to ask Tom a question? He's just an AI, Alex.
No, I don't want to talk to Tom. Tom's a douche.
Ain't that motherfucker do. All right, Tom, get away from here. There we go. So I do want to know, Tom, speaking of Tom here, since it is the season of AI, me and Tom were speaking earlier, and he was saying that how 2 weeks ago now, we all did a pitch for a comic book of our own, and he said all three of ours sucked, and so he made his own. And so he wants me to read his pitch for a comic book. So he wrote it in a real weird way, too. He has the title, and then he has the plot, and then he has like major points of the story he wants to tell, and then he has a pitch at the end. Tom, I can read it. You don't have to read it. It's just fucking words, bro. You think AI's got to read? Get the fuck out of here. Here we go. The title he has is The Quantum Chronicles Flux of Reality. Thomas, right? I didn't mean to laugh at that. The Quantum Chronicles Flux of Reality. It just sounds stupid. Here we go. Here's the plot. In a world not bound by the laws of physics, where the bizarre and absurd reign supreme, we find our protagonist, Dr. Oswald Quirk, a brilliant but eccentric quantum physicist. Yeah. Dr. Quirk has unlocked the secrets of quantum entanglement, allowing him to transverse through alternate realities. One day, during a routine experiment, he stumbles upon a mystery artifact, the Paradox Prism, which grants him the power to control the very fabric of existence. That sounds like the fucking, you know, the fucking reality, you know. What the fuck's it called? I can't remember what it's called. The Cube in Marvel? That's right. Cosmic Cube. Jesus fuck. Paradox Prism, you know? Tom, let me fucking read it. You don't have to explain this. Major beat. Dr. Quirk, he's a discovery, he says. Well, Dr. Quirk, while working in a cluttered lab, discovers a hidden equation that enables him to manipulate quantum entanglement in a new and unheard way. Introducing the Paradox Prism. A chance encounter with a strange traveler leads him to the Paradox Prism, an otherworldly crystal with the power to bend reality itself. Dr. Quirk accidentally activates the prism, causing reality to go haywire. Gravity reverses, cows start flying, and people's faces randomly switch with those of animals. What the fuck is this? Where did the fuck did this come from? Why are you going to put it in here? Cows start flying. All right. Quantum team. Dr. Quirk assembles a team of equally eccentric scientists, each with their own quirks, including a sentient AI toaster and a talking houseplant. Well, hold up a second. You put an AI toaster in this story? First off, why would a toaster need to be AI? I guess that'd be pretty good.
Was it brave and little?
Yeah. I don't think this is your idea. That toaster was alive. But Alex, what would be a good? Why would you need a toaster to be AI?
Make your toast automatic for you. You don't have to ask him to make a toast.
You just put it in there and you say, "I want it medium," and he figures it out.
Yeah, I mean, he wouldn't even have to. I mean, he can control how much he's putting out. It'll be fine.
Yeah, all right. A group of nefarious reality benders known as the Reality Pirates seek to steal the prism for their own chaotic purposes. A battle ensues as the quantum team attempts to protect the artifact. The quantum team then embarks on a series of surreal adventures as they hop between bizarre alternate worlds, including a world where everything is made of candy and another one where sentient clouds rule. Dr. Quirk discovers the existence of a cosmic custodian, a being tasked with maintaining the balance of the multiverse. They must seek the custodian's guidance to undo the chaos they inadvertently caused. And the final showdown between the reality pirates with a prism in their possession attempt to merge all realities into one chaotic jumble. The quantum team engages in an epic battle against the pirates. You know what, Tom? This doesn't sound half fucking bad anymore. I'm back on.
I'm fucking lost.
Doctor, listen. Oh,
I jumped off the train a long time ago.
Yeah, toasters, Tom, pirates, and Tom.
Can you just sum it up for me?
Dr. Quark.
The Quantum Chronicles Flux of Reality is a mind-bending comic book that takes readers on a wild journey through a world where anything is possible and only the only limit is the imagination.
Imagination.
Tom, you know what? Get back in there.
I'd say, don't quit your day job, Tom.
There we go. Season of AI. So I'm just, the reason it's good season of AI because this is their audition year. I'm giving them a chance, and if they can't produce, then we have nothing to worry about, and they can never be one with us. So I'm just giving them a chance. If they deserve to be one with us, Alex, I'm at least giving them a chance. Some people are not even giving them chances to be equal. I'm giving them a chance.
We're talking about the AIs?
Yeah.
Yeah, you make them equal, and then they create this company called Skynet, and then they wipe the humans off the face of the Earth. So,
So,
what would you guys rather fight, robots, aliens, or zombies?
Robots, because then you're not killing people. You're not killing biological things. You're killing fucking machines.
Wait, nobody's killing people in any of those three.
You gotta kill your family.
Aliens, though, are biological. Like, they're like real life beings. They're zombies, things. I guess, were people that. Robots. Because zombies could turn you into zombies.
A robot could smash you into a robot.
But it would turn you into a robot.
You know?
My thing is like, so fighting zombies would be tough, especially if you found people that you knew and you had to help put them down. Aliens would be scary because their technology would probably be way better than ours. And robots would be tough because they're robots. It's like punching metal.
Yeah, that's where you get the fucking bat or a, I don't know.
Honestly, I mean, to be fair, I think I'd say robots. I feel less afraid to fight a robot.
Right.
I say zombies. I feel like robots, one of you guys just talked about, I forgot who it was. I think it was you, Garrett. They're going to be too strong. And I feel like I am not going to be able to compete with that. And I feel like, if it was aliens, their technology, I can't compete with that, but zombies, what the fuck? Especially if they're traditional Romero, like they're not fast. They're not hard to kill. Like the only thing that ever fucks them up in those movies is shit that would never happen. You're never going to have like a bloater, you know?
That's true. But I was saying, it depends on the kind of zombies you got to fight.
And you're saying over here, you know, if
slow and they're lumbering, that's fine.
And you're saying over here, you know, if you saw that it was somebody that you knew, you had a hard time doing it. Gladly, Garrett comes at me, he's a zombie. Done. You know, take him out one shot.
More if anybody's a zombie, they're dead. It's over.
That's what I'm saying.
The nice thing though, Garrett, is that if it was zombies, you shoot Marvin in the leg. The zombies are going to get him first.
Listen, you didn't say which one would I... You said, who would I rather fight? Now, which world would it make more... If it was the world itself, I wouldn't pick that one because I would, you know, have to do result to that. That would be my MO. I would cut
your... Who do you think I took the idea from? It was from you.
Yeah, cut your Achilles and leave you.
Wow.
I just see that motherfucker roll up your leg and I'm out. I'm rolling out too. there we go. That's some zombie robot alien talks. What about you, Alex? What if there was a monster like Godzilla or King Kong? Would you want to fight? You live in that world?
Do I have a mech? Am I, you know?
No, just a person. In all three of these, I'm saying you're just a person. You get no advantages. You didn't ask if you were a fucking, you know, a marine, space marine, who would you fight? You said, who would you rather fight?
No, but in my idea, I'm thinking the same thing, going, you're just a person fighting robots, aliens, or there's nothing special outside of what you find to get the shit out of them. So I got to fight King Kong or Godzilla. I'm probably going to take Kong, because if I can shoot him in the dick, I'll drop him to the floor.
Well, Godzilla, you tried to do that. I mean, you're already suffering from radiation, so
I could climb up his pant leg and kick him in the dick.
If you're close enough to see the little Godzilla, then you're already dead. That's how he gets you. That's how he fucking gets you, bro. That's how he kills everybody. He says, come closer and you can see it. And then you get too close, he goes, you're dead. Radiation.
That's how you meet Godzilla's son.
And that's why he's asexual, because he can't have anybody get close to him. Now you see why he's so fucking mad all the time.
Can't get laid, of course.
He's fucking out there trying to get some in Tokyo, and...
And that's why he had to kill the Mudos in the first movie. He saw that they were happy.
Yeah, so they can get close to those guys, so he's mad about them. He's jealous. You know, Mothra's over there fucking knee-deep, and... I couldn't even say it. And Godzilla's just like, the fuck? Nobody wouldn't get close to me. Even that fucking crab that comes out of the sea. That dude's banging around. Guess why not, Garrett? He's got crabs. So
damn.
Crab on crab. So
right up his ass.
Wednesdaycomics.com.
Right, right in the crack.
Oh, holy shit, guys. I need to tell you the best story in the whole world, and I'm going to end today with this story. Go to Wednesdaycomics.com. That'll lead you to our Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, however you like to subscribe to podcasts. Go ahead, get on board. Season of AI. I'm already working up on the next season. It's going to be a nice season next season. And also go to our sponsors, RootsOfTheSwampland.com. And for any, you know, if you want to see the Avatar of the Green Garrett, you should just went there the whole fucking time. Then I got to hear this diatribe you didn't see him for 140 pages. Go to Psalm 1 page, and that's RootsOfTheSwampland.com. You fucked up.
I did, I guess. I guess I went into a Swamp Thing comic thinking I would see the man in green, but apparently you have to wait.
Oh, I never asked Mr. John Boylan, the Mr. Guinness Book of World Records. I never asked Mr. John if he enjoys that first volume of Swamp Things, but I will ask him, and we will get an answer on this. But Ruth of Swamp Thing com, go there. Go to our other sponsor, Rainbow. ComicsandCards.com, that's Rainbow. ComicsandCards.com, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and Lincoln, Nebraska. If you go to Sioux Falls, South Dakota, I'll tell you what. You go to Sioux Falls, South Dakota, like I said, this Black Friday, they're going to probably do another sale, as they always do. So go to their socials, make sure you're following. You're going to pull up, and you're going to go inside, and you're going to buy as much as you want. You know, go in and spend $500, Bree. You know, because you know, if it was like the sales in the past, boys, that's a lot of comics. And you go in to spend $500. Then you ask him to call Garrett, and he will drive over there and put that shit in your car for you. That's the deal you're going to get this year on Black Friday. Will you be in town for that day, Garrett?
I'm not sure yet. Not sure yet.
Well, you got a fucking job to do, so why don't you get the fucking town? All right.
I might have to.
Oh, okay. And SuperCon. Oh wait, that's for a while. We won't. But go ahead and it was enjoyable. And thank you for everybody that came out. And I feel like Alex, you know, saw a lot of goods. Had a little. We talked about that last time on the last show. But Alex got some gems over there. But here's the story. Here's the story. When we're gonna end the podcast with this story. So. And this is a story in which you two are going to see how big of an idiot I am. And it's going to come into play. So, like a month ago, I tried to go to our website, WednesdayComics.com. And for some reason, it wasn't pulling up. And I was like, fuck, was my phone not working? Whatever the fuck's going on. And I kept trying, and it would never actually pull up. And then here comes, you know, but this is like 2-3 weeks. And then here comes SuperCon. And we go and we put a QR code to go to the website. And I tried it. It wasn't really working. I was like, what the fuck's with this? So then I redirected the QR code to go to our anchor page instead, which is what our WednesdayComics.com does anyways. But just directly I did it. And it just started working. And then I'm like, eh, whatever. That's kind of weird. But I guess, I don't know. Why is it not working? So the other day, I tried going there because I saw it. Like, I was typing something else. And then it like popped up as an auto thing. And I was like, oh, yeah. So I clicked on it. Nothing happened. But then I was like, wait a second. So I go up and I turn the content blocker off. And when I did, I realized that I need to renew WednesdayComics.com because it was no longer a website. So I quickly went over there. Luckily, I was still within the 1 month renew and got it back. So now it's working. So WednesdayComics.com. But that was me dismissing it for a whole fucking month, being like, that's just weird. Never looked into it. And then today, when I figured that out and I corrected it.
I went on there before the con. I saw our website was still working. So I was like,
it was recent. Okay, then. Maybe it wasn't a whole month then. I feel like it was a whole month, but maybe it just was that 1 week. You know, the 1 week we asked people to go there. Yeah, it was not working correctly. So that's good on me. That's
perfect.
That's exactly perfect. Why we're number... hold up. I got to pull this up here. That's the reason why we're number... Hold up.
Number one in your hearts.
I had it here. I think, did I delete it? Chart. Oh, here it is. This is the reason why we are number 67 in Ireland.
Perfect.
Because you love us talking and being that. That's how, you know, we're three good dudes forgetting about websites, mad about a senior swamp thing, and, you know, and Alex over there, turkey heart, eating it up. The man sucking on all of the old dried up blood inside there. And, you know, that's how he lives forever. So, and it might also explain why on Thanksgiving he doesn't get as big as me and you, Garrett, because he's just sucking on hearts all day.
Yeah, could be
blood bust that I have.
Could be, you know, raw, fried, you know, deep fried spaghetti. This man eats it all. So, turkey hearts. Send them out to Alex AP Keaton on Twitter, at @Karat2188 on Twitter, and at Wednesday Comics on Twitter. For Wednesday Comics, my name is Marvin.
I'm Alex.
I'm Garrett.
Hey everyone, stay cool or warm and keep turning those pages.